Pastor's Day is for pastors of current students, and we invite those men and their wives on campus to hang out with their student right in the middle of the semester. For more information on that event, visit www.indianabiblecollege.org/Pastor's Day. And there you can register for the event. It's a free registration, but we like to know that you're going to be here. We look forward to seeing you March 13th, 2018. Welcome back to the Indiana Bible College podcast. Today we have Brother Charles Robison, our student body vice president, preaching a message entitled Back to the Basics.
That you guys have also invested into me as well as the staff and the student council. Some of you may be a little bit curious as to why I have this up here. I believe that every sermon should be preached to yourself, but I believe sometimes you just need to continue to remind yourself and those you're with that you're preaching first and foremost to yourself and then to them. And so I know that this is one that has troubled me, and I know that this is one that personally I have wrestled with because I felt I wasn't adequate enough. And that's just kind of how the Word of God is sometimes, you know. I'm never really worthy enough to bear this Word, but this is just our reminder that I'm preaching to myself today. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to start with Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And I'll give you guys just a moment to get there. I know they're going to be pulling it up here. So we'll go ahead and read this together. Ephesians 6, 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so, just a moment, we're gonna pray just a moment, but I want to start with this. A lot of people have equipped themselves in prayer with the whole armor of God. A lot of people, this is a very common verse to be able to try to apply to ourselves. And so they believe that we're ready for the impending war. And sometimes I feel like we don't talk enough about the warfare that we're in, the spiritual warfare and the battles that we face. And I don't know if we're always preparing ourselves in the way. And so hopefully today we can grab a hold of the vision of this war. We can allow ourselves to gear up for it. And so, just as any good soldier must go through a war, they first got to go back to the basics. And that's what we're going to be speaking on today, is we're going to go back to the basics. Let's just pray real quick that the Lord may have his way in this place. Dear Jesus, God, we're so thankful for another opportunity to be able to be in your presence, just to be able to come and exalt your name. But Lord, I pray that we don't leave this place the same way that we came in, but instead I pray that you encourage us and help us, Lord, to grow closer to you as we prepare ourselves for the war against the enemy, as we prepare ourselves, God, to be able to go and to be able to fight for someone. I pray that this be an encouraging message, Lord, and help us to be able to truly go forward in your name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So basic training, it's the first step, and obviously this is a time where a lot of emotion is, because this is when the soldier leaves his family for a 10-week period, and they go and they go through several phases to be able to become the best soldier that they can be. And so basic combat training is a training course that transforms civilians into soldiers. Over the course of 10 weeks, recruits will learn basic tactical and survival skills, along with how to shoot, rappel, and march. They will also learn the basics of Army life and military customs, including the 7 core Army values. And so as I was reading this and as I was preparing, this began to speak to me, because before we can go out as ministers and before we can go out and reach people and hope to have the powerful, effectual ministry that we all desire, we first have to go through the period where we go from a civilian to a soldier. We have to go through the period where we start as maybe just somebody who'd never entered truth before, or somebody who'd never grasped it for ourselves. And then all of a sudden, we go through this process where we become war-minded. And so Proverbs 22:6 spoke out to me when it just says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And so this is our training process. This right here at IBC is our training process. And we're continuing to allow ourselves to be pushed further towards whenever, as they say, the rubber meets the road. And so training is important, because without it, without this ability to know how to fight and fight properly, we won't know how to win. So phase one, and we're going to go through the different phases, and we're just going to explain how the different phases of basic training can be applied to our walk with God. And so phase one is the physical and mental preparation. So the very first thing that they do when they get all together is they're given a haircut and they're given a uniform. And so the uniform, in what we're going to talk about it today, is that it is the blood of Jesus. We are all marked as the same, in essence. Whenever we come, whatever we come with, we are going to come as a Christian. We're going to lay it before the King of Glory. And we are going to have the blood of Christ wash away all of our sins, which means that is our new uniform. The name of Jesus is given to us in baptism. So that means regardless of what we may have thought before and regardless of what we may be going through, we have to always remember that we are representing the uniform we wear. We're representing the King that we serve, the person who is our commander-in-chief. We are representing him in all times with all things. And so that is the very first thing that we have to remember whenever we go through this basic training process, is that we are wearing a uniform. And so the next thing that they do is they learn their heritage and their core values. And so we'll just go ahead and go to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. I know I didn't give you that up here, but sorry about that. So in Romans chapter 6, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." You see, this is our heritage. This is what we have to go in and we have to begin to understand, is that whenever we come to Christ, we have a new life. And so our heritage within ourselves and within a group of believers is that our heritage is that we serve a God who saves people. We serve a God who takes darkness and turns it into light. We serve a God who has healed people, delivered people, filled them full of his Spirit. And so we have to first remember our heritage, because this is not something to be taken lightly. Whenever we get the concept that our heritage is real and it's a part of us, then all of a sudden we're going to begin to look at things differently. We're not going to take advantage of it. We're not going to be so easy to forsake it. We're going to invest in what our heritage was invested into us, because we know that our heritage is strong. It works. And so I know that there's a lot of people here who have that strong heritage. And so our values, that is the next thing. And I know, pardon me as I do a little bit of reading, I know that these are just the concepts. And we're actually going to go over the 7 core Army values and talk a little bit about how that pertains to us. And then we'll start to take off from there. So loyalty. Loyalty is the first one. But first, I'm sorry, the values that we have. Why is this important? Why is it important that we go over these values, that we have values? Because this makes up our apostolic identity. This is the foundation that we're going to be able to stand on whenever everything else comes our way. Whenever the world tries to undercut everything we believe, whenever they try to get us to compromise, we're going to be able to say, "I'm not going to go where you're going because I have these values to stand on." And so if we hold dear to these values that we are formed of, that we are made of, then we'll never stray away. We'll never compromise, because that is who we are. So loyalty. It says, "Bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution, the Army, your unit, and other soldiers. Bearing true faith and allegiance is a matter of believing in and devoting yourself to something or someone. A loyal soldier is one who supports the leadership, stands up for fellow soldiers. By wearing the uniform of the U.S. Army, you're expressing your loyalty, and by doing your share, you show your loyalty to your unit." See, we have to show loyalty to first, this says the Constitution, but we have to show loyalty to the Bible. We have to make sure that we stay true and we show a faithfulness to the Word of God, because we understand the Bible is the only thing that's going to be able to help reach people. And so if we stray away from the Bible, then we've lost everything we are. And so we have to be loyal to the Bible. We have to be loyal, it says, to your authority. So we have to make sure that we are devoted to those who God has placed over us. It's not a nuisance to have somebody watching you, protecting you, guiding you. That's what they do. And so it may sometimes it may seem like they're coming down on you, but I promise if you spend enough time with your authority, especially Brother Galleon, you'll know that everything he does is for your good. It's because he loves you and he wants to see you become the best man or woman of God, the best Christian that you can be. And so just as Ruth was faithful to Naomi, you know, where she says, "Your God is my God," we have to have that same sort of faithfulness. Just as God every day speaks to us and he continues to move in our midst, God is faithful. And so we have to make sure that we take that same loyalty. Sun Tzu says, "The art of war teaches us to rely not on the likelihood of the enemy's not coming, but on our own readiness to receive him. Not on the chance of his not attacking, but rather on the fact that we have made our position unassailable." And so what this quote is saying, why? It's because we can't just sit and prepare and hope that nothing's ever going to come our way. We have to make sure that we have the confidence enough to say that, yes, the enemy's coming, but furthermore, my position is unassailable. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to tell me, and it doesn't matter what the world's going to try to tell me. I am going to stay loyal to this truth because there's not going to be anything that comes against me. There's not going to be any attack that comes against me that makes me leave my position. It's not just that we're going to hope that the enemy doesn't come. We are going to be attacked, but we're going to have to stand up and say, regardless of the attack, this is what I'm defending. There's not going to be moving. I'm not going to move from this. This is my unassailable position. Our duty. We have a duty. This is the second one, to fulfill your obligations. Doing your duty means more than carrying out your assigned tasks. Duty means being able to accomplish tasks as a part of a team. The work of the U.S. Army is a complex combination of missions, tasks, and responsibilities, all in a constant motion. Our work entails building one assignment onto another. You fulfill your obligation as a part of your unit every time you resist the temptation to take the shortcuts that might undermine the integrity of the final product. This is strong for us to, if we can recognize that it is our duty to go above just the obligations and to fulfill it with integrity, to fulfill it with an earnest desire for the company, for the company of people that we're with, for those that we have yet to reach. It is our duty to be able to go and to be able to fulfill it at all cost. I was reminded of Jesus praying in the garden. Of course, in his flesh, he wanted the cup to be taken from him, but he understood what was at hand. He understood the task that was set before him. And so he knew that at no cost could he give up anything. He couldn't give up what he was supposed to do, and he couldn't give up how he did it. He couldn't fall into the temptation of the devil whenever he was presented all the kingdoms of the world. Because there is no shortcuts when we're fulfilling our Christian duty. There is no way to be able to compromise or shortcut how we do what we do. And I found another quote, and it is by Chris Kyle, the American sniper. "It was my duty to shoot the enemy, and I don't regret it. My regrets are for the people I couldn't save, Marines, soldiers, buddies. I'm not naive, and I don't romanticize war. The worst moments of my life have come as a SEAL, but I can stand before God with a clear conscience about doing my job." What a sense of fulfillment we have. Yeah, we're going to have to shoot the enemy, per se. We're going to have to stand up against those who are in line with the enemy, trying to destroy what we have. We're going to have to go ahead and get our hands dirty. And we may lose a couple people, but he says his only remorse is that he wasn't able to save more people. He wasn't able to save those Marines and those soldiers and those buddies of his that he was fighting with. And so if we can make sure that we are fulfilling everything we need to do, then we can stand before God with a clear conscience and say, "I did my job. I did everything I could with the fullest capacity." That is what is tasked to us. Respect is the next one. Treat people as they should be treated. In the Soldier's Code, we pledge to treat others with dignity and respect while expecting others to do the same. Respect is what allows us to appreciate the best in other people. Respect is trusting that all people have done their jobs and fulfilled their duty. And self-respect is a vital ingredient with the Army's value of respect, which results from knowing you have put forth your best effort. The Army is one team, and each of us has something to contribute. Each of us has something to contribute. So you have to make sure that you respect yourself enough to say that my job is important and the kingdom of heaven wants me to be a part. And then you have to respect everybody you're around and saying their task is important. Their efforts are important. What they're doing is going to be a contribution to the kingdom of God, because we've got to have this mutual respect. And so the next one, we're going to go a little bit quickly through these values. The selfless service. If there's any of these that describe what Christian living is, I'd say it's selfless service. Because we have to put the welfare of the nation, the army, and your subordinates before your own. Selfless service is larger than just one person. In serving your country, you're doing your duty loyally without thought of recognition or gain. The basic building block of selfless service is the commitment of each team member to go a little further, endure a little longer, and look a little closer to see how he or she can add effort. You see, that's what our life is about. That's why we have the Great Commission, because we are expected to live selflessly, not just for them, but for each other. We have to make sure that we're not trying to take the glory. We're not trying to build our own selves. And so when we're living selflessly, God's able to move because he can trust us with more things. He can trust us because he knows that we have integrity. So we'll go ahead. Honor is the next one. It says, live up to the army values. The nation's highest military award is the Medal of Honor. The award goes to soldiers who make honor a matter of daily living. Soldiers who develop the habit of being honorable and solidify the habit with every value choice they make. Honor is a matter of carrying out, acting, and living the values of respect, duty, loyalty, and selfless service, integrity, and personal courage in everything you do. And to me, I was reminded of the fear of the Lord. Because whenever we walk in the fear of the Lord, we'll begin to have wisdom and understanding. We'll be in complete reverence to the kingdom of God, and we won't ever be seeking anything for ourselves. And so as we're going to take this as the fear of the Lord, because whenever we make preparations to be able to walk in the fear of the Lord, to have that reverence, then we're not going to stray. We're not going to get off path. We're going to give him the glory that he's deserving of, and we're going to be living to the fullest Christian life that we can. Integrity says do what's right, legally and morally. Integrity is a quality you develop by adhering to moral principles. It requires that you do and say nothing that deceives others. As your integrity grows, so does the trust others place in you. The more choices you make based on your integrity, the more the highly prized value will affect your relationships with family and friends, and finally, the fundamental acceptance of yourself. And so this is just another continuance of saying, you have to live right regardless of where we are or what we're doing. Integrity is not something that is a show for whenever you're with other people. Integrity is something that whenever you're by yourself, or integrity is whenever you're facing a difficult choice, that you could benefit from both alternatives, but you still have to make sure that even when you lose something from doing the right thing, that is what integrity is. Integrity is making sure you're always staying faithful. And the last one is personal courage. Face fear, danger, or adversity, physical or moral. Personal courage has long been associated with our army. With physical courage, it's a matter of enduring physical duress at a time of risking personal safety. Facing moral fear or adversity may be a long, slow process of continuing forward on the right path, especially if taking those actions, if not popular with others. You can build your personal courage by daily standing up for and acting upon the things you know that are honorable. And so we as Christians should have a lot of courage. We should be able to stand with boldness and say that I know that I serve a God who is victorious. Because if we don't have the courage, then we're never going to be able to take what we know and what we've learned and make a difference. And so we have to challenge ourselves to walk in boldness and to be able to have the courage to be able to step into a situation and know that your God can control it. Your God can take it. Sun Tzu made another quote, and he said, victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war and then seek to win. We already have the victory. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, for we love life even unto death. You see, the word has promised that we are already victorious. And so we have to have this mindset that whenever we face something, whenever we go into a situation we don't know how to handle on our own, or whenever we're talking to someone on the job, whatever it may be, we have to know that we are already victorious. It's just a matter of aligning ourselves with that victory according to the word of God. And so that was phase one. And I know that was a little bit lengthier, because that is the foundation. That is what we're going to hold to. That's what we're going to grow on. But phase two, this is very important. It says, learn valuable skills and instill confidence. The first thing they do in phase two is they learn to march. And so in marching, I know this is probably going to be a little funny, but in marching band, if you've ever seen a marching band, they are all in perfect unity. It takes however many people. I've seen marching bands of 300 people, and they're all walking around the field, and they're making shapes. And so if you watch them ever at a football game or whatever, you're recognizing that they have to all be in complete step. And so That's the point of marching. This is where we're going getting to, is that regardless of how big your battalion is, regardless of how many people there may be, you have to be in complete step with the next person. You have to have a sense of unity that is not able to be broken up. And so whenever you have this battalion, you have people fighting for one another. You have people that are encouraging one another. You have people that are willing to lay down their life for one another. And so this is the important, and I was reminded of a story. Logan Craner told me about this, and it was a man by the name of John Bassalone. On October 25th, 1944, he was fighting for Henderson Field. He was fighting the Japanese army so that he could, because they kept, it was a six-month process. They kept making attacks, and they kept trying to come at him so that they, because whoever gained this land was going to have an advantage for the World War. And so many of his troops were wounded, and they were sick with malaria. They were weak, and they were tired. And so what he did was he knew that he could not afford this night to give up his position. And so he spent all night. First, he manned the machine gun so that he could, because other people didn't have the strength. And whenever they did get the strength, he spent all night running for ammo, steadying terrified men against the opposing Japanese people. And so he kept himself busy. They were tired. He was worn down. He knew they couldn't keep going on their own. He ended up going into the enemy camp and killing supposedly about 38 people just on his own. He had to fight them by himself because his army couldn't follow him. But he did it so that he could protect his army. He did it so that he could protect his position. And so then, after several days, I think, is how that goes, of him not sleeping, of him just fighting and continuing, a lot of his men and a lot of his army are in the hospital. And he comes up and he asks them how they're doing. And that you'd think that he would begin to try to take care of himself, but he wants to check on them. He's credited for being the inspiration and giving life to that army. He was given the Medal of Honor for that. He was recognized as the one who was able to encourage a group and make a difference in the war. And so then, after he got his Medal of Honor, that wasn't good enough, because he said, "Well, this belongs to every fallen soldier that went out there. This isn't my medal." And so he ended up going back out there to fight for his troops, fight for his country, because he recognized that there was an importance in fighting for what he believed in. And so he went back out there. He ended up dying 2 hours after he made that choice to go back out there. But he fought for it, and he wasn't going to give it up. He wasn't going to let a tired army give the enemy a victory. He was going to make sure he stood in the trenches for everybody he was fighting with. You see, IBC, we are fighting with people in trenches. Look around. These are the people that you're fighting with. These are the people in your battalion, because you have to make sure that you're going and doing what you can and helping them and encouraging them. See, we have to take a battle for ourselves. And I'd like to go ahead and use an illustration real quick. We're going to see how this works for us. So for those who helped me last night, the seniors, if you could come down and get into place. Because, see, the senior class, they do a lot for us. The senior class is our foundation. They are who has put in the most work and the most effort. They've been the one who's been trying to help support this school. And so the seniors play a really big role. And we can't do it without our seniors. And you guys can go ahead and get in your position. We're going to bring up the junior and the sophomore. All right? See, the seniors, their job is to invest. Their job is to pray. Their job is to make sure that they do everything they can to support the next coming class, to support the people who are going to be helping them and taking their place. And then we've got the juniors and the sophomores. They may not have as much experience as the seniors. They may not have as much investment as the seniors. But you know what? They're going to still do everything they can to be able to do and to help those who are going to be above them. And freshmen, you can come on up. You see, the freshman class have a unique role. The freshmen, they're going to be, they may not have as much to bear. But see, the freshman is going to look down, and he's going to see that he's being held up by so many people who've been praying and investing. You see, it is his job, maybe not necessarily to bear the responsibility, but to take and to do what he can to get from the foundation, to be able to plug into what they can put in him. And it is the senior's job to be interceding, and it is the senior's job to be praying and to be investing and to be encouraging. It's the senior's job at IBC to be fighting one for another. We can't have a pyramid of people raising, we have to have a pyramid of people just to raise one freshman. We have to have so many people willing to give of themselves, willing to be tired, willing to be hurting, willing to go and lay themselves on the line for one another. You guys can go ahead and get down. Thank you. You see, we have to have this in our school. We have to have this battalion mindset where we are fighting one for another. We're not going to let one another just go ahead and fall off. When they're struggling with something, when they're hurting, when they're in pain, it is our job, upperclassmen, to be able to take them under our wing and to be able to pick them up and say, you can do it. You can go ahead and you can make a difference. You can get back with God. And freshmen, it's your job to take their place, because eventually, obviously, everybody graduates. There's a time when it comes and they're going to leave and they're going to need leaders to step up. They're going to need people to say, okay, I know it's going to be inconvenient, but I'll go ahead and move down the pyramid. I'll go ahead and be somebody else's foundation. I'll go ahead and stand for somebody else. See, this is a very important point of this message, because we have to make sure that we are prepared within ourselves, not just for ourselves, but to fight for one another. We have to have this mindset as if, because we are in a grueling war. We are in a battle against the enemy. And if we don't have one another, then we have very little to be able to fight for. And so you have to pray. You have to support them. This is the mindset that we have to go into, because it's a relationship between everybody involved. And if we don't have that relationship, then we're going to be a very weak army. And the enemy is going to have his way. The next thing to do in phase two is to engage in skills and situational training. This is our daily preparation. You see, when we equip ourselves in our daily reading and our daily praying, it's for that relationship, to make sure that we're in good alignment. And so we have to engage in these skills. And so sometimes it's easy to pray and to read whenever you're seeking an answer. Whenever you know that you have to face a situation or you have to face something, and it becomes easy to rely on God, because you look at yourself and you're like, well, I can't do it. But sometimes it's a lot harder whenever everything's going okay. Sometimes it's a lot harder whenever you seem to be riding that spiritual high, as maybe some of us have been this weekend. And so it's a lot harder to stay consistent. But we have to make sure that we are engaging in our skills and in our development, because otherwise we're going to get to the place where if we don't have those equipped, then we're not going to have them at all. And sometimes my fear is that at IBC it can become so easy to not see the big picture. Sometimes we don't engage in prayer and spiritual warfare because we haven't yet had to face the things that require utter dependence. Sometimes I fear that since this is kind of a bubble, a subculture of people who are trying to do right and trying to live right, that sometimes we don't feel that urgency. And so we may feel like it's okay to just kind of slack off a little bit here and there in prayer. And this is where I'm speaking directly to the mirror, because I know that there are times when it's easy. There's a temptation to just go with the flow and let yourself feel saturated by the classes and by the chapels. We go to church 5 times a week. And so what happens is, if we're not equipping ourselves and if we're not preparing ourselves right now for what is to come, then we're not going to have anything whenever we actually fight against the enemy. You see, we're not going to have that to stand on. We're not going to know how to pray until we're broken. We're not going to know how to pray for a situation, how to fast right. We're not going to know how to do that if we're not doing it now. I don't want the fact that that sometimes I feel like we don't face a lot of the situations we hear about from pastors or ministers. Sometimes we don't face that yet, and I don't want that to be a reason that we allow ourselves to be ill-equipped whenever we face the enemy. So we have to have confidence. The third thing they do is confidence obstacle course. Have confidence in the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. His name is authority that we can use. His name is the ability to speak to any obstacle that may come up against us. And so we have to have confidence that in Luke 10:19, he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. John 1:5 says, the light shineth in the darkness. The darkness comprehendeth it not. You see, when we have that light, when we have that authority, we have to have the courage to use it. We have to make sure that we stand and we say, okay, I'm gonna allow God to take control of this situation. we have that authority. We have that power given to us. And so we have to equip ourselves and prepare ourselves to be able to use it. Phase 3 is the last phase of basic training. It's to engage in battle. This is when you become familiar with your weapons and you begin to train heavily with your weapons. And so this is about seeking battle. This is about restoring those who are lost for us. This is about meeting the needs. This is about using our greatest weapon. Our greatest weapon is prayer. Our greatest weapon will always be prayer. And this verse, as I began to prepare for this sermon, as I began to pray, this verse in James chapter 5, verse 16, it just became an anthem for me because it says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." The effectual, fervent prayer. And this is where this whole parallel has been going, because this is where we need to plug in. Because it's fervent prayer, effectual, fervent prayer. And I was looking those up, and that takes work. Fervent prayer, it literally just means you're going to put in a lot of hard work into this. And so we have to allow ourselves to engage in the point where we become comfortable being fervent in prayer. Because people's lives won't be changed if we're not willing to take time and pray for them. People's needs won't be met if we're not willing to take time and pray for them. And so my goal here is to hopefully encourage us not to be reactionary, but to be preemptive, to be able to be driven, so that we can, not when something comes to us or when the enemy comes to us, like Sun Tzu had said, we can't wait for that to come to us to start praying. We have to make sure that we are equipping ourselves daily, preparing, and praying for those who we might meet, praying for every opportunity that we have, praying for those people that we know are lost and they have yet to receive the truth. We have to continue to get this mindset of prayer and saying, I'm going to take time out of my day and I'm going to stop and I'm going to break up my will so that I can intercede on people's behalf. Because all of a sudden the culture will begin to change if we decide that our army right here is going to engage in spiritual warfare through prayer before the attack happens. If we decide that we're going to take time and we're going to make sure that we pray fervently for those around us, pray fervently that they may be lifted up around us, that each other may be encouraged, then all of a sudden we're not going to have some of these issues that we have. We're not going to have the issues of disunity. And we're not going to have the issues of being unprepared. You see, all of a sudden, if we just begin to set this culture where we are praying fervently on our own times and expecting God to move, then that's what's going to happen. We're never going to be caught off guard. We'll be able to fully trust and rely on the Spirit at all times. And so we have to engage in battle when we intercede. We have to engage battle when temptation comes, and we resist this with Scripture. You see, we have to engage it with these things that we've been preparing for as we go back to the basics. And we have to make sure that we battle when somebody is hopeless and they're broken. You see, as we attack the enemy, we are attacking the enemy. It's kind of a phrase that goes under the radar sometimes. People say attack the enemy, but they just mean engage in battle. We are on the attack, which means that we know people who are broken. We know that people, even whether they're in church or whether they're not, we know that people are going to be going through a hard time. We're going to lift them up. We're going to take it upon ourselves, and we're going to make sure that we're fighting for them. We're fighting for them in an altar. We're fighting for them on our knees. That is engaging in spiritual warfare, because that's when things are going to start happening. It's because we all of a sudden decide we're going to take it seriously enough to bear one another's burden and to take it before God. That's what an army does, and that's what an army fighting for a nation does. We are an army, and we are fighting for a nation of lost people, people who are broken and in darkness, people who have no answer. This is why I personally believe that the greatest thing you can do in ministry is to pray. It's part of becoming like Christ. It's part of allowing his nature to flow through you. It's just to pray and to be set. We have to become prayer warriors. We have to make sure that we set in ourselves that we are going to not just casually come to prayer, not just casually enter prayer in our own time. We're going to be warriors of prayer. We're going to be fighting against the enemy at all times, mentally prepared to be able to go out and to make a difference. And so, music, you can go ahead and come. I am coming to a close. But see, we have to get out of this mentality that if it's not our situation, that I'm not desperate. You see, souls are waiting. Hell is warring. Ignorant minds are being told that sin is freedom. You see, there are apostolics that are selling themselves to evolution or to the ways of the world or to charismatic tendencies. And so we have to recognize that the war is still going on, even when it's not directly about us. So we have to prepare ourselves because we have to get ourselves involved. And so I want to encourage us today that we have to hold to our values, but we have to engage in the enemy as one unit, as one body, fighting for the cause of Christ. I'm going to go ahead and read the words of Dwight D. Eisenhower on June 6, 1945. This was our president of the United States, and he was giving the command to go and infiltrate D-Day. If you could all please stand. I feel like this is something that we can take from and we can use as encouragement for us. He says, "You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hope and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely." You see, this is our moment to step up, apostolics. We can't live for God passively. We have to recognize this. The phrase stuck out to me and it pierced me. It says, "The world's eyes are upon you. They're looking at you. They're seeing, what are you going to do? Are you going to fold and collapse? Are you just going to let the enemy stampede and take over? Or are you going to stand up and fight? And not just fight for yourselves. Are you going to fight for them? Are you going to do everything you can to make sure that you see people in heaven with you?" See, our job is a lot bigger than we sometimes see. We have to recognize that we are always fighting. There are always people fighting. And if we are not allowing ourselves to engage, then we're doing somebody a disservice. You see, we're fighting a big war. And the prayers of liberty-loving people. How many know that there's liberty in Jesus Christ? You see, the prayers of liberty-loving people are with you. But be warned, because the enemy he knows what he's doing. He's well prepared. He's coming at us. He's seeking to kill and destroy all that we have. He's trying to say the subtle differences that you don't have to believe what you believe. He's trying to strip our identity away from us. And so today, if there's anybody who just wants to make a consecration that they are going to engage in a warfare, that they are not going to live passively, but instead they're going to hold dear to that great weapon that we have in prayer. And we're going to take time and we're just going to begin to pray and we're going to begin to fight battles. This is a time for us to be able to become unified, fighting for one another as we go out with one purpose. And so if there's anybody today who would like to take that step and would like to say, "God, burden me with prayer like I've never been before. God, burden me to fight the enemy like I've never maybe felt the need before. God, help me to take on the battles of those that are fighting with me and to be able to encourage those who are with me in this army." Holy Spirit, lead us to your heart, oh Jesus. There is nothing we want more. Holy Spirit, break us. Come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for.
IBC Pastor's Day is coming up March 13th. For more information on that, visit indianabiblecollege.org/Pastor's Day. We look forward to hosting pastors from across the nation on campus, and sign up there on that website. Again, indianabiblecollege.org/Pastor's Day.